49 Winchester. Now, we were talking before the break, news break, about this moment in Dana's life where she and Johnny were sitting next to this other couple at some event that she won't even describe.
No, we got to talking.
And they get to talking, and she noticed that the man had a prosthetic leg. And she said she wanted to tell him about Steps of Faith.
Because Thunder Gong's coming up.
The prosthetic advocacy group. I don't know how to
phrase it. They provide prosthetic limbs for those who can't afford them because it's the price of a car every few years.
And it's not covered by insurance.
Very specialized, and in some cases, it's not covered by insurance.
Yeah. So anyway, she said, I asked Johnny, you know, should I tell them about Steps of Faith? And Johnny, to his credit, said, and wisely said, I wouldn't do that. And then Dana, during the break, said, what's the difference between telling this man about Steps of Faith that he may not know about, Scott, and being, you know, in another city and seeing somebody with a Kansas City Chiefs t-shirt on?
Yo, are you from Kansas City? What would be wrong with just saying, are you going to Thunder Gong this year?
Well, probably.
And then if he says, no, what's that?
That's almost as bad.
Why? Why?
That would be like you coming up to me, and we don't even know each. First of all, you don't know this person, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Never met.
We are complete stranger. That would be like you sit. You and I are sitting at a restaurant.
Okay.
And you come over to me, and you say, you know, I happen to have a line of vitamin E, and it's a cream, a topical cream. I would recommend you use that on your scar. It may lessen its noticeability.
God, this is an advocacy group.
I just think you should try my Dana's Always Right topical cream vitamin E. Your scar on your face that literally takes
I can't
up,
help but notice your scar.
That scar that takes up half of your face would be a lot less noticeable.
No.
You're pointing out.
What if he had said, oh my gosh, we go to Thunder Gong every year? And I'd be like, oh, we love that event.
And what if he said, I've never heard of it. What is it? Well, it's a gathering. It's a comical, musical gathering where they help people like you.
No. You know that it came from a pure place from my heart.
I don't dispute that.
We did not say anything.
All you're saying is I couldn't help but notice that you're different than everybody else here.
And that I am part of an organization that we have supported since the beginning.
Are you part of it?
I did their game show night a couple months ago with some of the Saturday Night Live folks. I love everything about Thunder Gong.
And did you raise money for people who aren't like you and me?
Yes.
Who are missing limbs?
I believe in the work.
That you can go point out to them.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you knew this, sir, but you're missing a leg.
God, that is not how it went down. Well, it didn't go down at all because Johnny was like, I wouldn't say that.
Let's go to Blind Batman.
Oh, now blind people are calling in.
Hello, Blind Batman.
Hey.
Yeah, now you've made all the blind people in Kansas City angry at you. No, you didn't. One of the worst ones that happened with me with people just randomly being over friendly is I was at a local hospital in South Kansas City, and I was there with a girlfriend at the time, and her friend may be getting ready to pass away. So the blood pressure was dropping, all that. So I was sitting in the emergency room praying because I was wondering, did I want to be in there for that event or not? I'd never been there when somebody passed away, and I've never been there when somebody was born. This guy approaches me and starts to try to have a conversation with me. And every time he said something, I gave a monosyllabic answer. I bowed my head again. And after about the third try, because he was wondering if I knew somebody that worked at a local organization for the blind and all this. And I was like, dude, somebody's dying. I'm praying. I can't be bothered right now. I mean, any other time maybe, but no. And that was one of the most egregious. And then there was the idiot that asked me, well, you don't have lights in your home, do you? Because you're blind, right?
Oh, wow.
God.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, how do you survive? Have you spawned? I hope you didn't spawn.
Do you vote? I hope not.
Yeah, really. So that's my thought. As far as it being out of bounds, I guess you can read the guy if he looks like he's going to rip somebody's head off, well, he's obviously upset about something, I wouldn't approach him. Or if he's already eating, I wouldn't approach him.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it was such an egregious, horrible thing that you were about to do to just ask him if he knew this organization that you know and love.
But let me ask you this, Blind Batman. How would you feel if you were at some event and somebody said, couldn't help but notice that you're blind. There are some blind advocacy groups that I work with here in Kansas City. Can I tell you about them?
I would try to be gracious and say I've probably already heard of them, but okay, what do you got?
And thank you for noticing that I'm blind.
I learn something new every day, Blind Batman, and I now, if there's ever an opportunity to bring up something that I'm passionate about because I think the person might want to contribute to that charity, I will hold my tongue.
Here, can I give you some unsolicited advice?
Yes.
It's one thing to be passionate about Thunder Gong, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
And we give Thunder Gong plenty of attention on the radio. We have Billy in every year. Maybe someday he'll bring his buddy Jason Sudeikis in, and that would be really nice. They get plenty of free publicity. Dan is up. It's one thing to be passionate about Thunder Gong.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be passionate about pottery or flowers or horses.
Yeah.
And you can tell a complete stranger, I don't know if you know this, but I'm really into horses. You can't tell somebody who's got a prosthetic leg, I'm really into helping people just like you.
Let me ask you this.
You can ask me whatever you want, man.
What if you happen to have a prosthetic arm? And you run across someone else in a restaurant who happens to have a prosthetic arm.
That you can tell them about Thunder Gong until
all day
you
long.
Can't breathe.
Okay. It's okay if you're in that.
You got to be in the community.
Right.
It would be one thing if somebody.
You can't be adjacent. You got to be in the community.
You got to be in the community. It would be one thing if somebody who had a scar across their face came up to me and said, oh my gosh, how did you get your scar? And then I would ask them, I would tell them, and then I would ask them how they got theirs. It's something else if a complete stranger like you comes up and says, what happened to your face?
Right, absolutely. And you've had people say that to you, and I've always just mortified at that.
You know, I'll tell you this. When you and Sam and you know, callers that we know well goof on my scar, it doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, this happened to me when I was 16 years old. You know, it was almost 40 years ago. I'm way past the feeling sorry for myself phase, you know. But if somebody just came up, and they have, and said, and this was the line that drove me the craziest, what happened to your face? I've had that line said to me, if I had a dime, for every time that line has been said to me, I wouldn't need this job. I wouldn't need it. I've had more people say, what happened to your face?
Which is a shocking thing to say to somebody.
It's like, what happened to your brain?
Right.
In what world does that sound like a workable sentence coming out of your mouth?
I have the best comeback that just popped up on Facebook for anyone that ever says that to you again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you say. You might not be the dumbest guy I've ever met, but you better hope he doesn't die.
Yes, I saw that this morning. You may not be the dumbest guy I've ever met.
You better hope that guy doesn't die.
But you better hope he doesn't die. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. You can find their website at Q39KC.com.
By the way, Billy and I have been texting back and forth. He happens to have a prosthetic leg.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% of tickets are available and left for Thunder Gong. It sells out constantly because it's at the Uptown, and the Uptown's not that big.
Why don't they move it to a bigger venue?
Because I don't want it moved to a bigger venue. It's supposed to be intimate, right? So he just audio texted me and said, first of all, you totally could have said that. It's not
He's
like,
lying
no,
because
he said, it's not like you say, oh, you're black. I couldn't help but notice you're black. Do you know my black friend so-and-so? He said, it's not like that because there are very few of us, far fewer of us in the community that have a prosthetic leg.
He's lying because he wants you to stay involved and interview him.
Stay involved anyway. He did say, like you with your scar, Scott, he said, it doesn't bother me as much, but there are people, if you go up and say, oh, how'd you lose your leg? He goes, eh. He goes, it doesn't bother me anymore, but you get that a lot. What happened? And to your point, Scott, with your scar, I remember the first time I met you, by the way, the first time I saw you, I remember wondering because you brought it up. We were out in the sun and you said, I've got to wear a hat and a lot of sunscreen because it's bad for my scar to be out in the sun. Mm-hmm. I remember wondering, I wonder what happened. But you pointed out the scar. I didn't notice it. And then I wondered, because you brought it up, I wondered what happened. We knew each other for so long before I ever knew you were in a car wreck. Because I wasn't going to be like, what happened?
I wasn't in a car wreck. I was in an experiment testing the strength of a Toyota Corolla windshield.
And the windshield won.
Yes, it did. I had actually had somebody on the text line, and I responded to him or her, say that only a child would say, what happened to your face, that I was lying.
Oh, no.
That I was lying. And I wrote back and I said, I swear on my father's grave that these stories are true. I don't sit here in front of this microphone and lie. Not knowingly, I guarantee you that. Dana and I have long had a policy, be yourself and tell the truth. But I'll say this, I said to the texter, you would be shocked the things that people are, especially dumb people, are willing to say.
Someone very close to me has a birthmark. Mm-hmm. Someone very close to me. And I am here to back up Scott on this. The number of times adults, professionals have said, what's on your face? What happened to your face? Mind-blowing scenarios.
It's mind-numbing.
Where this has come up.
Yes.
I'll back you up too, Scott. I mean, my younger sister has a scar on the back of her neck. So she had a brain tumor when she was real little. She's fine. Nobody panic. But I mean, she's 21 years old, about to be 22 in about a month. And I have seen grown men and women in their 50s and 60s walk up to my sister when she's 11 or 12 years old. It's like, what's wrong with your neck? What happened to your neck? Why does your neck look like that? People walking up to this 12-year-old girl and asking her in that way, and then she has to go through this traumatic story, and these people have this look of stupidity on their face afterwards.
That's the only thing I would disagree with you. She doesn't have to go through that story. She could simply say it's none of your business.
She's just too nice to tell them it's not any of your business.
I hope she has a pithy comeback now. I really do.
She's gotten a little bit more quippy as she's gotten older. She's picked that up from the rest of us.
Remember the old show, the kids will say the darndest things.
Yeah.
Adults will say the dumbest things.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen it in real time.
Yep.
These are grown-ups who have come up to me. It doesn't happen very much anymore. Grown-ups who will say, what happened to your face? The scar used to be much more pronounced than it is now. This is from Channel 5. Safety concerns about a road that stretches through the heart of Basser are increasingly growing. This comes just a few weeks after a 16-year-old was involved in a deadly car accident on 155th and State Avenue. Quoting here from Cheryl Doyle, who is a wellness coach, quote, that family actually comes in our shop, so it really struck at home to be more aware. Residents have flooded the city's inbox, expressing fear and frustration about the area around 158th and State Avenue. Yeah. Listen to this. Some drivers allege that the streetlights at that intersection at 158th and State Avenue, that the streetlights malfunction. And sometimes when you drive through State Avenue on a green light, the light is also green on 158th.
No way.
Says Tracy Smith, the owner of Perky's Cafe. I know it's true because we bank across the street and I go over there to make frequent transactions. And it has happened. Yes.
Who reported on this?
This is Channel 5.
Wow.
US 2440, which is State Avenue in Basser, okay? It's 2440 Highway. This is from the city on Facebook. US 2440 State Avenue, the intersections and traffic signals at 158th Street and State Avenue are owned, operated, and maintained by KDOT. That includes the lights, traffic signals, and turn lanes. The city of Basar does not have any control over the highway, the intersection, its turn lanes, and its traffic signals. Here's what you do. I don't care who you are. Well, I do.
I'd go out there with a camera if I was all of the news stations and just park there and watch the stoplights.
There would be a way to sit catty corner.
Oh, yeah.
And film the lights. And here's the deal. Until we get that fixed, or until Basar gets that fixed, or KDOT, or whomever is responsible, why not make that a four-way stop? But make it a full-blown four-way stop, or have if it's that dangerous, put a police officer out there 24 hours a day, controlling traffic. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798 if you'd like to weigh in, especially if you're in the Basar area. I would love to hear from you. 2440 is the old highway that I used to take to get from Lansing to KU when I was in school.
If the lights are somehow mistimed, all stoplights are electronic now, right? If they're somehow mistimed,
I think so.
Isn't that a pretty quick fix, or either that or a pretty quick, easy way to confirm that that is going on?
Well, the city says that they have relayed all complaints, and I can only imagine there have been a lot, all complaints to KDOT. One would think that a mistimed light...
That goes to the top of the stack.
On a highway where I think in Basar, the speed limit on that road is 55 miles an hour. KDOT should have been there yesterday. I mean, that is dangerous. Am I right or am I right? Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Grab a couple calls on this and then move on to some other stuff. But we're talking about the intersection of State Avenue and 158th Street in Basar. It's basically 2440 Highway, if you're familiar with the area. And there have been a number of wrecks at the intersection of 158th and State Avenue. Some of them, sadly, have been fatal. And people who live and work in Basar say that the light at that intersection, 158 and State Avenue, they claim that sometimes it is green on
always.
Both.
Yeah, it's always.
In all ways, the lights are green.
Has anyone ever been charged in a wreck?
I don't know.
Because I would be calling an attorney yesterday.
Let's go to David, who is in Basar. David, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello. I don't know. Almost 20 years ago, I worked at the bank at a corner of 158th and State, which is 2440. This stuff didn't happen back then. That light's been there since then. I'm not saying that they can't be both green or something's changed, but the fact is it's just a busier area now, and people don't pay attention when they're driving. The wreck that you're talking about that unfortunately killed the 16-year-old, I don't even think that was 158th and State. That was 155th and State. It's the next light up.
That is correct.
They have to cross on stuff on the side of the road. And I'm not trying to say anything bad, but he did run a red light in the oncoming traffic. How many times have I heard everybody on the radio complain about, you know, you drive by, everybody's on their phone, everybody's doing something else. That's the biggest problem. It's not the... I drive through it every day.
And you've never seen a problem at 158th and State Line? Or State
I've
Avenue,
seen,
Big Bird?
I think I personally have seen one wreck there.
Okay.
But you're talking... I grew up in Piper, and I've driven through that area for 25 years.
Okay. David, appreciate the call, man. Thank you. All right.
Yep.
Robin, also in Basar, and then we'll get on to some other stuff. Hello, Robin.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I live in Basar. I have since 97, and I go through that light pretty frequently. But the other night, I was in the line, and I was behind a couple of people, and we waited through it three times without it changing green for us to turn. So eventually, we all started turning when we could get through clearly, and I got pulled over.
Oh. See, yeah, if there is a malfunction of the light, Robin, we've talked about this before on the program. What is the appropriate amount of time? How many cycles do you wait before it is obvious this light does not work? Am I just supposed to sit there for the rest of my life until I'm dead?
Yeah. He was very nice about it. He really didn't know. And it had been on Facebook for a couple of days about how this light was malfunctioning. I honestly have not seen both sides being green at the same time. However, I know people have had trouble with the light not changing for them so they could turn. Mm. And the officer only suggested that I go down and turn around and come back up next time if I was in that position. So now I just avoid it altogether.
Yep, mm-hmm. Just don't go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Robin, appreciate the call. Rarely do I read straight from a press release, but we haven't had time to write a story about this yet. This comes from the Department of Justice in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri man has been sentenced in federal court for distributing fentanyl, which resulted in 3 overdose deaths in Belton and Raymore, Missouri, as part of a drug trafficking conspiracy. Tiger Dean Dragoo, that's his name.
Yep.
Tiger Dragoo, 25 years of age, was sentenced to 40 years in federal prison without parole.
Yep.
He will be in prison until he is 65 years of age. Good. Dragoo pleaded guilty to 1 count of conspiracy to distribute fentanyl and 3 counts of distributing fentanyl resulting in death. Says the U.S. attorney, R. Matthew Price, and I quote, "This case is a sad reminder of the horrific damage and destruction that fentanyl can have in our community. It is also a stern reminder to those who seek to make a profit off dealing fentanyl that you will be vigorously investigated, prosecuted, and incarcerated." Good. Glad to hear it. I did not know this. This is from Channel 5. The superintendent in the Center School District resigned. And now Channel 5 found some documents regarding her pay and what she was paid on her way out. She quietly left, according to Channel 5.
Yep.
Her name is Dr. Yolanda Cargile. Worked as the Center School District superintendent for 5 years. According to the settlement, by the way, she was paid, her annual salary was $196,000 roughly.
Okay.
In her final year at work. Her pay to leave, to go away, was $470,000.
Whoa!
More than 2 times her annual salary. Well over 2 times her annual salary.
Wow!
She made $196,000 a year.
They paid her 3 times that to leave?
Almost. A little. Well, definitely more than 2 times. $196,000 a year. They paid her $470,000. To leave.
Wow.
Yes. She has filed a charge of discrimination against the district with the EEOC and the Missouri Commission on Human Rights. She accuses the district of unlawful employment practices.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. The district denies any wrongful conduct or liability. $470,000. Fire me!
A lot of people would say that, and I don't know what she went through or what she is alleging she went through, but I think a lot of people listening are thinking the same thing.
Fire me?
For 4 times your pay?
Well, it wasn't 4. It was more than 2, but less than 3 times her pay. Yeah. And you mentioned this yesterday on the show. I'll bring it back up from Channel 9. The now-fired president of Bishop Miege High School has a past sex abuse accusation against him
that
school leaders knew about before hiring him.
You guys try to get me to come back to understand the Catholic Church, and I can't, because they did hire the ombudsman, the 2 lawyers, remember?
Yes.
To investigate all claims of abuse. And then you turn around and here's another headline that not only did they hire this man, that man has allegations against him, by the way, dating back to 1985.
Says here, the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas announced that Phil Banowitz, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, was dismissed from his job on Wednesday of this week after an unspecified accusation of inappropriate conduct with a minor. The decision comes after Banowitz was restricted from youth activity in June. Says Harry Service, a Kansas City, Missouri attorney with no involvement in the case, "I think parents have a right to know about the accusations that are being made. In 2005, a man filed a lawsuit in Arizona, claimed that Banowitz sexually abused him on more than 1 occasion. An attorney for that man said the sexual abuse against his client started when he was 14 years old. The complaint also states that Banowitz threatened the boy not to tell his parents.
Former students are questioning whether this case will truly bring change and accountability for what they claim is a systemic failure. The answer is no. How long has this been going on where we shuffle these men around from parish to parish or school to school? The Catholic Church is its own worst enemy because they keep allowing this to happen. They knew about the past allegations. Help me understand, in whose benefit was it to hire a man with a lengthy string of sexually inappropriate allegations in his past and lawsuits? They knew about this. Is it that hard to find the president of a private school that they were going to roll the dice that he would harm other children? Is it so hard to find a leader?
No, it shouldn't be. No.
I can't imagine it would be.
Do you have to be Catholic to be the head of a Catholic high school?
I don't know the answer to that, Scott. That shouldn't, even if you had to be Catholic, I don't believe it's that impossible to find a leader without sex abuse allegations in their past.
Here's what I'd like to know. Where are, and I'm not saying that they're not, maybe that they just haven't been given a vehicle to express their outrage. Where are the parents?
Oh, God, I would be furious.
If I was a parent at a school and they hired the equivalent of a principal or a superintendent that they knew had allegations of misconduct with young people, they knew it in advance.
Yep.
And yet they hired that person anyway, I would be up in arms, borderline contemplating the idea of pulling my kid out of that school. If for no other reason than to send a message about their judgment. I mean, Bishop Miege is not the only Catholic high school in Kansas City. It's a good one.
Someone someday will have to answer the question, why does it keep happening? Why does this keep happening?
Do they not think it's going to get out?
I just don't understand. Let's say there are 100 qualified candidates. Why would you choose the one guy that has a documented history of sex abuse allegations against him? Why?
There is no answer.
There is no answer. You're absolutely right. But they bounced him from place to place, and then here we are.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. You're on Dana and Parks. We got Festivus coming up in a little more than an hour. The airing of the grievances starts right after the 5 o'clock news. Festivus Friday is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com. A former South Carolina elections director was convicted of fraud after she reportedly obtained the Social Security benefits of her dead mother.
Oh, my gosh.
A federal jury convicted Cynthia Holland, 61 years of age, of Aiken, South Carolina, of theft of government property after fraudulently obtaining Social Security benefits. A guilty verdict was delivered following a day and a half of trial. That apparently was not hard to prove. Her mother died in 2013.
Oh, my gosh. Now, wait a minute. How does that go on for 12 years?
The benefits continue to be paid by mistake into a joint account that was held by Holland and her mother. And rather than notify the Social Security Administration of the error, Holland moved the money into her personal account and then spent it. Her theft took place in December of 2022 when the error was finally discovered.
Wait, when you die, do they not know you're dead?
I think, if I'm not mistaken...
They have to send the death certificate, don't they?
I believe funeral homes, I can't remember if it's funeral homes or the state that has to notify the Social Security Administration
that you are dead.
That you're no longer among us. Yes, that is correct. I think it's funeral homes.
I mean, I'm not trying to advocate or support this woman in any way, but this feels more like the government's problem than her problem.
What?
Well,
I mean, what?
I just have money popping into your account. I understand she knew
better.
Let's say it another
way. That's why I asked about the notification process. She is a criminal and should go away.
Yes.
Because she exploited what should not be a loophole in this system. When someone dies, it's published, Scott. There is a death certificate. How is that process not tied to some database the same way your license plate and registration and that you paid your property taxes. The government knows all that.
Do they?
Unless you're in Missouri, but that they're rectifying that. No more temp tags.
But to follow up on Logan's point, or lack thereof, that's like saying if the bank hits too many zeros on your deposit, that's the bank's fault. and you don't have the right, Mr. Bank, to come back and try to get your money from me anymore. Because one of your guys made the mistake, typed in way too many zeros. Now I'm all of a sudden a millionaire. And I wasn't a millionaire before I walked into the bank. And now I am as I walk out of the bank. And that's on you, not on me. I'm keeping the money.
I'm not advocating for her to walk away from this scot-free. I agree with Dana. She should go to prison for what she did, because this went on for 12 years and she never notified anybody. But the fact that you have a government entity or entities that didn't do enough research to figure this out. They're like, hey, man, this woman's, you know, now 95 years old or whatever she was at this point, because apparently they didn't know she was dead. I don't know. It just feels a little bit.
It feels like a database problem.
Yeah, feels like a government problem that she knowingly and wrongly took advantage of.
Okay. During the decade-long span that she was collecting Social Security benefits off of her dead mother,
yep,
Holland received $168,000.
Got it. Scott, we had a dead man inside of a home in Overland Park for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He lay there 6 years. They threw his mail on top of the remains while they were cashing his Social Security checks. Mm-hmm. This is not an isolated incident. Somehow, when some people die and there are unscrupulous actors around the decedent, they keep cashing the checks. How does someone not know that you're dead?
It's decadent that somebody would take advantage of a decedent.
Correct.
I know. She faces... You see what I did there? A little play on words.
Her soul is unripe and stanky.
She faces, by the way, 10 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 and 3 years of supervision following the term of her imprisonment. You know, I love all things space. Scientists have discovered the oldest and most distant black hole, a behemoth that likely formed at the dawn of the universe more than 13 billion years ago. Okay? Would you care to guess its size, this black hole?
Size of, no, Scott, I don't know.
Are you on Macy's.com
yes.
as we speak? This black hole that they've just discovered is 300 million times larger than the sun.
Okay.
300 million.
How do they know that?
Because they're scientists and we're not.
Who has a tape measure that big?
Anyway, they found it. Now, where it is, I have no idea, but they're smarter than me. It is also 10 times more massive than the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
We're an hour out from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. We'll do that straight up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Logan, Dana, my name is Scott here on KMBZ.